Recording in progress.
Okay, welcome back to Malachim Aleph. Thank you very much. Malachim Aleph. So we are, we're going to do the whole perek tonight. It's not such a, it's a pretty small perek, and you'll see a lot of it is names of people that were associated with Shlomo's Malchus. So we'll see, but there's some interesting ideas in the perek, and then I found a couple of interesting sources, like towards the end of the perek, that I want to share also. Okay, so first Malachim Aleph, Perek Dalet, and Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi HaMelech Shlomo, Melech Al Kol Yisrael. And Shlomo HaMelech was the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Now, what does this mean? He was the king over all of Klal Yisrael. So it means everybody was happy with him. Everybody was happy with him. Most of the Mepharshim say here, the Rashi, the Radak, the Mitzvot David all say this, that once they saw, because if you remember in the last parak, we saw Shlomo's wisdom, right? Shlomo asked for wisdom. He was granted wisdom, plus many other brachos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had that incident with the two women and the baby, which proved Shlomo's chachma, right? That demonstrated Shlomo's chachma. So now all the Mepharshim here say that once they saw Shlomo's divine chachma, and they saw that he had the ability to use that chachma to do tzedako mishpat, right, to have true justice. So everybody recognized he's the king, right? He's our man. He's the king. He's the person that that we need to be. And they accepted him. They accepted him ba'ahava, says the Mitzudas David. And the Malbim says that this pasuk is really redundant. Because if you think about it, in we already said this in Perek Beis in Malachim Aleph, we said twice. Pasuk Yud Beis, Ushlomo Yashav Al Kisei David Aviv, Vatikon Malchuso Me'od, which means his kingdom was established. That was Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. And then we had a bunch of psukim later, Perek Beis, Pasuk Mem Vav. We had at the end of that pasuk, V'hamamlocha Nechona B'yad Shlomo, that the kingdom was firmly in the hands of Shlomo. So now essentially, we're repeating the pasuk, right? It's almost like a repetitive idea. So of course, the Malbim says each pasuk is reflecting something different about Shlomo's Malchus. So he says, number one, Shlomo's Malchus was different than Shaul's and David's. Number one, his father appointed him in his lifetime. Right? You remember, David HaMelech, at the end of his lifetime, appointed Shlomo to succeed him. He says, that's what the pasuk means. Ushlomo Yashav Al Kisei David. Ushlomo Yashav Al Kisei David. That's Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. That he sat on the throne of David. That shows that his malchus was established because he sat on David's throne, meaning David appointed him in his lifetime. Number two, we know at the beginning of Malachim Beis, Shlomo killed off all of his enemies, all the detractors, the people that he thought might cause him tzaras later. He had them killed off. That's why it says that Vayitzav HaMelech es b'neyo ben Yehoyada, Vayetze Vayivka bo Vayomos. And then right away, that's the Perek Beis Pasuk Mem Vav, that once he killed everybody off, then the Malchus was firmly in his hands. He got rid of all the distractors. And then finally, this Pasuk is showing that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the wisdom, the people wanted him. And this is different than Shaul and David. Shaul, we find in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Pasuk Chav Zayin, we find that the B'nai B'liyal, after Shaul was already appointed Melech, Amru, what did they say? Ma Yoshienu Zeh. What's this guy going to do for us? Shaul. They didn't like him. They didn't accept him. Vayivzuhu. And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed Shaul. They didn't bring him an offering. Right? They didn't accept him at first. That's Shaul. We know David. He ruled for 7 years over Yehuda alone, without the rest of Klal Yisrael. Everybody else followed different people, Shaul's descendants. So we find that both by Shaul and David, they did not have the unanimous support of the people. And Shlomo is different. Shlomo is different. Vayhi HaMelech Shlomo Melech Al Kol Yisrael. This is the first time that a Jewish king is Al Kol Yisrael. Now we know it's going to end because then the Malchus is going to split after Shlomo. I mean, after a couple of generations, but essentially, this is the first time that you have a unified Malchus behind the Melech Yisrael. Yeah. I don't remember. How old? We said he was young.
We knew 12.
Yeah. I'm not sure right now. I'm not sure. He can't be that old. I don't know. Okay. Now the Pesukim go on to list a whole bunch of advisors that Shlomo had in his Malchus. And some of them we're just going to run through the names. And some of them the Rishon and point out different interesting tidbits about who they were. The Eila Asarim HaShelo, these were the officers that were with Shlomo. Azaryahu ben Sadok HaKoe. So number one was Azaryahu ben Sadok. Now, who was this? First of all, who was Sadok? Sadok HaKoe. So Sadok was a name that we've had in the past. Sadok actually was appointed to be Kohen Gadol. If you remember, Tzadok was appointed Kohen Gadol, and he was in the times of David. The problem is that the Radak points out that the son of Tzadok was not Azaryahu. The son of Tzadok was Achimoaz. His son was Azariah. So he says it could be that Ben Tzadok here does not mean the son of Tzadok. It really means the grandson of Tzadok. That it is the same Tzadok HaKohen that we talked about before, who's the Kohen Gadol appointed by David. And this is his grandson, Azariah or Azaryahu. The Mitzudah Sovet suggests that maybe Azariah was appointed as the Mashuach Milchama in the place of Tzadok. Tzadok was Mashuach Milchama. David then appointed Tzadok to be Kohen Gadol. So now this position of Mashuach Milchama, what was Mashuach Milchama? He was the Kohen that was anointed to give the pep talks when the soldiers went out to battle. So that was also a prestigious position. So Azariah took over Tzadok's position when Tzadok was promoted to be Kohen Gadol. So he got Tzadok's position to be the Mashuach Milchama. And even though Mitzvah Sovet says we find that David appointed Ira to be the Mashuach Milchama, but maybe Ira died, Azariah was appointed in his place. Okay, now what's interesting, we're going to see that some of the Sarim have specific jobs that are mentioned. There's no job that's mentioned by Azariah or Azariahu. We don't know what he did. We just know he was one of the Sarim. So the Malbim quotes the Abarbanel, who says that this Pasuk is really connected to the next Pasuk, which talks about the Sofrim. So Pasuk Kimmel, Elichoref Va'achya B'nei Shisha Sofrim. Elichoref and Achya, the sons of Shisha, they were Sofrim. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud HaMazkir. He was the Mazkir. Now, what were these positions? So, this is a question in the Rishonim, exactly what the positions were. Rashi says the Sofrim were the ones who kept historical records. In those days, they didn't have anything. They didn't have everything. Nowadays, everything's on video, right, or audio. You have records already, right? But in those days, you needed someone to write down all the things that happened in order to remember it. So those were the Sofrim. That's what Rashi suggests. And what's the Mazkir? Fascinating job. What was the job of the Mazkir? The Mazkir's job was to keep track of all the people that came to a Din Torah. Why? Because many people came. Let's say Shlomo was in the middle of hearing a Din Torah. Somebody else showed up. So they didn't say just wait here. It might be hours. It might be days. I don't know how long it's going to take. So they kept a running list of all the people who came for Dinei Torah. And when it was the next guy's turn, they would summon that person, come back for your Din Torah. This one has ended. That was the Mazkir. That's what Rashi suggests. Okay, some understand the Mazkir was the one who did the historical books. The Malbim points out the Sofrim also wrote down all the judgments of the king, right? They kept a record of all the cases and all the judgments. Fine. The fascinating Sefer I found I found the Sefer called HaTorah HaTamima. Not Torah Tamima, right? Torah Tamima is the Sefer on Chumash written by Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, okay? And that he quotes all the Chazals on different Pesukim. So whatever Pesuk you have in the Torah, he quotes all the Gemaras that bring that Pesuk. That's the Torah Tamima. This is HaTorah HaTamima, which is mimicking that Sefer. This was written by Rav Yechiel Michal Stern, who's a Rav in, I believe, in Ezra's Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So he mimicked the Sefer on Navi. So he wrote a Sefer on Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis. He might have other volumes on the rest of Navi also. I don't know. And he brings different Mamari Chazal that quote the Psukim that appear in the Navi. So he quotes the fascinating Gemara in Sukkah. This Gemara in Sukkah, that talks about these two fellows, Elichoref and Achia. You know, it's interesting. Without the Gemara, you just read this pasuk and you move on. It's a fascinating Gemara in Sukkah. Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that these two fellows, Elichoref and Achia, were Kushai. What's Kushai? So the whole question we know by Tzipora, Kushi, it means her skin was dark, or it means that she was beautiful, right? Some say that it means she was a very beautiful woman, and Rav Stern understands that it means that these two people were very beautiful, not just beautiful physically, but beautiful spiritually. They were very holy people, okay? And they were the Sofrim of Shlomo. And the Gemara says that one day, the Shlomo sees the Malach HaMoves. And he sees the Malach HaMoves is very upset, very depressed. So he says to him, why the long face? You know? So the Malach HaMoves says to him, he says, these two guys, I'm supposed to kill them, and I can't. So why couldn't he kill them? So Rav Stern explains, because they wouldn't stop learning, right? These two Sofrim were very holy tzaddikim, and they were constantly learning when they weren't, I guess, doing their job of recording the historical records or whatever. But they were always learning, and he couldn't get them. So Shlomo gets nervous. He says, you know, maybe they're going to stop learning, and Malach HaMoves is going to get them. So he says, Chazal tell us that there's a place called Luz. And Luz, the Malach HaMoves has no shlita. He has no dominion in this place called Luz. So he says, I'm going to send them to Luz. So Shlomo Melech picks these two guys, and he sends them to Luz so that they'll be out of the clutches of the Malach HaMoves. They won't be killed by him. They get to Luz and they die. Right, Mamish, in the gates, but right as they enter the city of Luz, they die. So afterwards, the next day, it says Shlomo sees the Malach HaMoves and he's smiling. So he says, why are you in such a good mood? So he says, I got him. Why? So it turns out that the Gzeira was that these two people would be killed in the gates of Luz. So Shlomo, not knowing, Shlomo used his Chachma to send them to Luz to avoid being killed. Meanwhile, it ended up that was the place that they were destined to be killed. And the Malach HaMoves got them in the gates of Luz. Okay? But the message, okay, so it's a cute, you know, cute story, right? But the message is, besides for the message that if you're learning Torah, the Malach HaMoves can't touch you. Besides for that message, right? And that you find a couple times in Shas, you find that the Malach HaMoves couldn't get certain people because they wouldn't stop learning until they got distracted. And then they stopped learning for a minute. And then the Malach HaMoves finally took them. Okay, that's one important message. But Miyad Pasach Shlomo V'yomar. Right away after that, Shlomo said, Raglohi Debar Inish Inun Arvinbe, that the feet of a person are his guarantors. What does that mean? La Asar de Misboi Tamon Movilin Yose. Wherever he needs to be, his feet are going to take him. Wherever you need to be, your feet are going to take you. Right? These people, that was the decree, that was the Gzeira. Kach Gazar Rahman Hashem decided they were going to be killed in the gates of Luz. Kadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that they would end up in the gates of Luz. Not because, you know, of anything. It's because Shlomo thought he was going to outsmart the Malach HaMoves, so he sent them to Luz. Right? You end up in the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. That's the bottom line. Where you're destined to be, your feet will take you there, because Baruch Hu puts everyone where he wants them to be. That's the lesson from these two individuals. And again, you see the beauty, right? You read the Pasuk, you see nothing. I mean, you know, what do you see here? The Sofrim, they're, you know, historical scribes. Very nice. But you read the Gemara, it gives you a whole nother insight, not just into who they were, but also into an incredible lesson in life from Shlomo HaMelech. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. The purchase of the Sefer was Kedai just for that Gemara. Just for that Gemara. Okay.
So were they Azaria, based on the second explanation, but were they the Maskir or were they the scribes, based on the connection?
Oh, good. Sorry. Good question. I didn't finish that off. Good. So back to Pasuk Beis. So the Abarbanel learns that Azaryahu was also one of the Sofrim. He says he was also one of the Sofrim, that they had three Sofrim, Azaryahu, Elichoref, and Achia. And then this guy, Yehoshaphat ben Achilud, he was the Mazkir. Okay, Baiter, Pasuk Dalet, Uvenayahu ben Yehoyada, Alat Sava. So him we learned about already, Benayahu ben Yehoyada. So he was appointed as general of the army. Vitzadok, Yev Yasar Kohanim. And Tzadok, we learned about him. We just mentioned him also in the second pasuk. And Evyasar, they were the Kohanim. Now, very good, very good. So Perek Beis of Yasser was sent away, right? He was sent away. He was the son of Achimatz also, okay? And he was sent away. Shlomo demoted him from being the Kohen Gadol. Okay, Shlomo sent him away. So if he sent him away, why is he reappearing? He was sent away, right? So the Radak says it's probably not the same of Yasser. That of Yasser was sent away. This guy can't be the same as Yasser. Okay, so it's probably a different person named of Yasser, not of Yasser ben Achimatz. The Malbim quotes the Ralbag. Yeah, you could have two of Yassers that are Kohanim, right? Maybe of Yasser was a common name back then. You know, right now it's not such a common name. You know, but I don't know. You could have two people named of Yasser. Now the Malbim quotes the Ralbag, who says maybe it still was the same of Yasser. He was sent away by Shlomo, right? And he was demoted from being Kohen Gadol. He says, okay, Tzadok was the Kohen Gadol. But what happens if the Kohen Gadol can't serve? You need a backup. So maybe if Yasser was kept on as the backup, he was demoted from being the real Kohen Gadol, but he was kept on as the backup. That's the Ralbag's suggestion as quoted by the Malbim. Now, if that's true, it also shows you an incredible thing because, you know, listen, I don't know. If it was me and I was the Kohen Gadol and then I was demoted by the king, I'm out of there, right? You don't want me? Don't have me. I'm gone. You know, I'm going to go do something else, right? That's when it comes to your pride, you know, you take a hit to your pride. So you don't need me. I don't need to become and be now the vice Kohen Gadol, right? You're going to now demote me to be the second, you know, people, you work in a firm, right? And someone demote, you know, your boss demotes you to a lower position. What do? You leave. You leave and you go to a different firm. You're not going to stay there. It's embarrassing. Here, Evyasar, he didn't leave. According to this shot, he didn't leave. Shlomo demoted him. He stayed there. He stayed there. You want me to be the vice Kohen Gadol? You want me to help out when you need me? No problem. Well, there is such a thing as like a Sagan Kohen Gadol, right? Yes. Right. Right.
If worse comes to worse, go to the Sagan guy.
So Yom Kippur, they always had a Sagan. That's clear in the Mishnayos. Yom Kippur, they always had someone on deck because Chas v'Shalom, the Kohen Gadol died or something like that. They needed someone to do the Avodah. Avodah Sima Kippurim, you need the Kohen Gadol, right? So then for sure they had someone on deck. This is the Chiddush, they always had a Sagan. No, they always had a Sagan who was on deck and just, you know, he was like in the batter's box. So have to, you know, in case he's needed, they call him.
Once he leaves,
no. So he does retain some kedusha, but there are mishnayos, I believe, that talk about that. If you have, let's say the Kohen Gadol becomes pasul for some reason, right, and then the Sagan now takes his place, and now the first Kohen Gadol now becomes kosher again. He goes back to being the Kohen Gadol, and the Sagan gets demoted. So you can, you know, if in that kind of a case, you can. Now he still retains some level of kedusha, I believe. I don't remember all the Mishnahs, you know, by heart, but he retains some level of kedusha. But the Mishnahs talk about that kind of scenario; it can happen. Okay, okay. Now continues the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. I'm thinking Mishnah Yomi. Continues the pasuk. Va'azaryahu ben Nasan alanitzavim. V'zavu ben Nasan Kohen Reya Hamelach. Okay, so Azaryahu, the son of Nasan, was al hanitzavim. Now, who are these Nitzavim, right? The Nitzavim literally means the ones, the standing ones, right? Who are these Nitzavim? Who are the standing ones? So it's fascinating. We're going to learn in the coming Pesukim that there were 12 officers that were appointed to oversee the support of the king. And the king needed to eat. Not only did he need to eat, but his family needed to eat. All of the officers needed to eat. Everyone that was involved in the government needed to eat, right? So now, how do we support all the people in the government? Tax money, right? Tax money. That's how we support everybody. All the congressmen and the senators, they get a salary, right? Where does the salary come from? Tax money, okay? So this was essentially tax money, okay? But it wasn't the regular taxes. We'll learn about the regular taxes. This was the special taxes just to feed them, okay? Now, he may have been rich, but the people still are supposed to support the king. I mean, we'll see at the end of the parak that everyone was rich at this point. This was a very prosperous time for Klal Yisrael. So this wasn't an issue that people had This was normal taxes that people paid. You know, and they paid for the government to support the government.
Why are you doing this now? In going ahead and telling everyone the Shlomo's cabinetry and all his people, when by David we did it at the end of the era.
It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, maybe again, because maybe it took David some time to get settled. By David, you know, the beginning of his malchus, it was very tumultuous. You know, Shlomo, it's kind of, you know, it's like, you know, after a couple of years, it's smooth. So maybe that's why. I don't know. Okay, so these were the Nitzavim. We'll learn about them, but these were the Nitzavim, and they were the ones that were appointed to oversee the collection of these taxes to feed Shlomo and his government. Okay? Now, this is fascinating. The Zavud ben Nasan. So Azariah ben Nasan, now you have Zavud ben Nasan. I guess they were brothers. Kohen, maybe they weren't brothers. I don't know. Reya Hamelech. What's the Reya? Friend. Right? What does this mean? Friend of the king? So the Mefarshim point out that Shlomo had a social companion. He was a friend. And he was someone who always stayed with the king. He was always with him. And he was a chaver. He was a friend. Right? You know, it's an amazing thing. Here you have Shlomo HaMelech, who's the king over all of Klal Yisrael. He's judging, he's leading. And it's important enough in the pasuk to point out that he had a friend that was his confidant, that he probably got emotional support from. This was his friend. That was a position. Friend of the king. Right? Unbelievable. That's what the Mefarshim say. He was a chaver. Right? He was a chaver, social companion. Reya HaMelech. Oh, okay. So comes, now let's talk about the Nitzavim. Pasuk Vav. Va'achishar al habayis. Oh, sorry, not the Nitzavim just yet. Oh, no, that's the next Pasuk. Achishar was appointed over all matters relating to the palace, to the house. Va'adoniram ben Avda al amas. He was the one who was collecting the regular taxes. Now again, so the taxes are broken up into two types. You know, before we were talking about just the taxes to support Shlomo, his family, and the government. And the rest, the taxes, I guess, for, who knows, roads, infrastructure, other things that they use the tax money for. That was something else. But this is not for the support. Okay, now we go to the Nitzavim. Village Shlomo, Shnei Masar Nitzavim, Al-Kol Yisrael. There were these 12 officers that were the Nitzavim, and they were appointed over all the Jewish people. V'chil Kiluas HaMelech Ve'ez Beiso, Chodesh Vashon. And each area, now it's don't make the mistake, the Mefarshim point this out. Don't make the mistake to think that these Nitzavim were appointed over each Shevet. This was not broken up by Shevet. Why? Because the Shvatim were not equal in size. Some Shvatim were very large and some Shvatim were very small. If each Shevet had to contribute the same amount, it wouldn't be equal. So what they did was they broke up the land of Israel based on population. And they had one of these Nitzavim was over a specific area that had a certain population. And they broke it up evenly so that the 12 Nitzavim would each be over a similar size population group. And it was from them that they would collect these taxes. Okay. Now, each group was responsible for supporting the government 1 month a year. Right? That's what it says. V'chilkelu es ha-melech ve'es beso, chodesh v'ashana. Each one supported the government 1 month a year. Yihyeh al ha-echad l'chalkel. Okay, each one had that responsibility. Now the Malbim points out, the reason why it was structured this way is so that it wouldn't be so difficult for these people. Right? It wouldn't be so difficult for Klal Yisrael. Everybody had 1 month. That 1 month, they had to cook a little extra or do whatever they had to do to support the government. Okay? And the rest of the 11 months, they were off. They were off. So this way, it wouldn't be a constant burden over everyone in Klal Yisrael. Everybody knew they had a month. A month a year, I can handle. Right? I can handle paying a little more taxes, you know, 1 month a year. And that's what they were in charge of, that 1 month, to collect from all the people in their area. And they were going to give it, they gave it to the king. Now, it's fascinating. Some of the Mefarshim point out, I think the Malbim quotes the Abar Benel, who does the Cheshbon, who says that how big was this government? He says it was 60,000 people. 60,000 people. So that's a lot of people, right? But I guess,
diplomats and
all. Yeah, and it was also their families, Right? Keep in mind, it was their families. I mean, you could have one person, could have, 10 kids, 12 people. So, but it was 60,000 people total between Shlomo and his household. Remember, he also had a lot of wives and a lot of children, right? Plus all these other officers and their families. So you're talking about 60,000 people. That was the total, that's the total number that the Abarba Nook comes up with. Okay. Ve'eles Shemosam, and these are their names. Ben Hur Behar Ephraim. So Ben Hur was appointed over Har Ephraim. Now this is also interesting. The Radak points out that that they were known by their father's names. We don't mention any of their first names here. Ben Hur. It's like the last name, Palakos. That's how they were known, That's how they were known as by their father's names. And also, it's not, like I said, it's not by Shevet, it's by area. That's why it says Har Ephraim. It's not Shevet Ephraim. It's the mountains of Ephraim. Okay, so that was one area. Ben Deker Bimokatz Uve Shalvim, right? It's also fascinating to see some of the names here. Shalvim, right? Shalvim, that's the Yeshiva Shalvim. That's the place where it is. Uve Shamesh, Beit Shemesh, okay? The Elon Beis Chanan, that was this fellow Ben Deker. He was over those areas. Ben Chesed Bo'arubos Lo Socho V'chol Eretz Chefer. He was appointed over this place called Socho and Eretz Chefer. Ben Avinodov Kol Nofas Dor Tofas. Kol Nofas Dor. That was the area that he presided over. And this fellow, Ben Avinodov, not only was he an officer, but Tofas Bas Shlomo Haisel Olishto. He was also a son-in-law. He married one of the daughters of Shlomo, a woman by the name of Tofas Bas Shlomo. Pasuk Yud Beis, Ba'ano ben Achilud Tanoch u'Megido v'chol Beis Sha'an asher Eitzel Sarsana. So these are all the areas that he presided over. Mitachas Yisrael mi'Beis Sha'an ad Ovel Mechola ad Me'ever liYakma'im al Yakma'am. Sorry. So these were the areas. We're not going to get into all the borders and the boundaries. Yud Gimel, Ben Gever, right? Reminds you of Ben Gvir. Okay, Ben Gever, Beramos Gilad, Lo Chavos Ya'ir. We know the name Chavos Ya'ir from the Torah, right? That was the name of a whole name of cities. Ben Menashe, Sheba Gilad, Lo Chevel Argova, Sheba Bashan, Shishim Arim Gidolos, Chom of Riach Nechoshes. He presided over 60 big cities that were fortified. Okay. Achinodov ben Ido Machanoima, he presided over Machanoim. Achimatz ben Aftali, Kamhulokach as Basmas Bas Shlomo Leisha. Here's another one that married another daughter of Shlomo. He married Basmas Bas Shlomo. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Bana ben Chushoi the Osher Uva Olos. This was in the area of Yehuda, actually. Yehoshaphat ben Paruach be Yisachar, in the area of Yisachar. Shimi ben Ela ben Yomin. Gever ben Uri be'eretz Gilad, Eretz Sichon Melech HaEmori ve'Og Melech HaBashan. Eretz Gilad was split between the land of Sichon and the land of Og. Unitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz. So this is so those are all the 12. And now an interesting ending to this pasuk in pasuk Yutes. Unitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz. And there was one other officer that was appointed over the land. One other officer. Who is this one other officer? So Pashat Pshat, the Radak says, is that this officer was the officer appointed over the Nitzavim. So the Nitzavim would collect from the population in their areas, and then he would collect from them. And then he would give it to the king, I guess, and distribute it among the 60,000. That's the Pashat Pshat, says the Radak. Now, Rashi, the Radak also quotes this, but Rashi says that the Gemara actually brings a machlokas Rav and Shmuel who this Nitziv Echad was. So one says, like the Radak, that this was one person that was appointed over everyone. And in fact, Rashi says that maybe this was Azariah ben Nathan. Right? Remember we had Pasuk Hey, right? If you go back to Pasuk Hey, right, we were wondering what his job was. Azariah ben Nathan al Hanitzavim, right? So maybe Rashi says maybe that's the Nitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz, and he's the one who was appointed over all the other Nitzavim to collect. That's one pshat. That's one Rav or Shmuel. And the other opinion says that this fellow was appointed for the leap years, right? Because the leap years had an extra Adar, So who was deporting the king during the extra Adar? This fellow was the one who was collecting. Now, who did he collect from? I don't know. It doesn't say where he was collecting from. Maybe he collected from everyone, you know, for that extra Adar. I don't know. But that's those are the two pshatim. Okay. Now, interesting ending to the parak here, Pasuk Chaf. Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim kachol asher alayom. At this point, Yehuda and Yisrael are extremely numerous, right? Who's Yisrael? So we're still referring to Yisrael as the rest of Klal Yisrael other than Yehuda. So even though they're unified right now under Shlomo, but I guess there were still some feelings of division, right? And we'll see that's going to play out, right, when the Malchus splits. But they are as many as the sand upon the seashore. Larov, ochlim v'shosim usmechim. They're eating, they're drinking, and they're happy. Now the Radak says, what does this mean? This means that they were blessed. Number one, they were blessed with many children. They had many children at this point, okay? And we'll talk about that also in a second. But they had many children. The population swelled, right? That's what the Pasuk says. They were rabim kachol asher alayom. Also, their fields were blessed. And a lot of things grew, and that's why they had plenty to eat, plenty to drink. And finally, they were smechim. Smechim means they were happy and at peace because they had no one to fear. There were no enemies at this time trying to attack Bnei Yisrael, trying to undermine Bnei Yisrael, trying to get land from Bnei Yisrael. This was a very prosperous, happy time for Bnei Yisrael. They were wealthy, they were at ease, they were at peace. And that's what the pasuk concludes. Now,
Rabbi
says that there were, yeah, Aaron.
Sorry, Rabbi. Rabbi, there was a big movie years ago, maybe before your time, called Ben-Hur.
Oh.
About a Roman soldier, very, very strong and famous. Is this the same Ben-Hur here?
I don't know. I don't think so, because this is not a Roman soldier.
Right.
This is a Jew who's been, and it was also much earlier, Marvin's pointing out. Yeah, I don't think it's the same person.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but you mentioned it, yeah.
He was no Charlton Heston.
What was that, Rabbi?
No. What was the actor? Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston. He wasn't. He was no Charlton Heston, he said.
It was Moses. Gil Brenner was the Paro.
Okay. All right. We'll figure it out later. Anyway, the last two points of the Malbim, and then I'll share as we end. I'll share a couple of very interesting midrashim here. So the Malbim points out two things here. He says, number one, according to the environmental calculations, like we mentioned, there were 60,000 people that had to be fed. So this pasuk at the end is not just mentioned. This is actually in context. Because this is pointing out that even though that's a lot of mouths to feed, Bnei Yisrael didn't have a problem with it. Because people were wealthy. People were affluent. There was plenty of food to go around right now. So nobody had an issue with this. And not only that, but the Malbim points out that really based on their wealth, Shlomo could have demanded even more from them. Right? Mishpat HaMelech, he was entitled to even more. He didn't. He only asked for what he needed. He didn't ask for any more. The taxes were not based on income, right? The taxes were not based on how much people were making. The taxes were based on what his needs were. And that also shows the tzidkus of Shlomo, that he wanted the people to have. He wanted the people to be happy. He took what he needed, that he was entitled to. And after that, he let the people have whatever they wanted so that they can live with prosperity. Okay. Now, two fascinating midrashim that appear also quoted by Rav Yechiel Michal Stern in his HaTorah V'Atamima. So he quotes two interesting midrashim that are from the Psikta Rabasi here. And the Psikta Rabasi quotes a pasuk at the end of Shmuel Beis, the last parak of Shmuel Beis. The pasuk says, I think it might even be the last pasuk, parak chav dalet pasuk chav hei, Vayeoser Hashem la'aretz. That Hashem, Vayeoser, right? It's hard to translate that. What does that mean exactly? Hashem listened to the land. What does that mean? And the magefa stopped. Now, what magefa are we talking about? So if you remember, at the end of Shmuel Beis, it was a magefa because David counted the people. And because he counted the people, there was a Magefa. We had a whole discussion back then. Why did he count them? Right? What was going on? There was a reason why he counted them, fine. But there was the Magefa that broke out. And because of that Magefa, people died. About 70,000 people died from that Magefa. At the end over here, the Magefa stops. Now, the Psikta Rabosi says, wait, one second. What is that? What do those words mean? Vayeoser Hashem la'aretz. So the Psikta Rabosi says, we find the word Vayeoser, we find it in another place in Tanakh. Where? Vayeoser lo Hashem, Vatahar Rivka Ishto. That when Yitzchak and Rivka were davening for a child, they both went to daven. Vayeoser lo Hashem.
That's the Yeta.
Vayeta lo Hashem? I don't remember. There's no Nekudos here. I don't remember. But Hashem listened to Yitzchak and they had a child. Now, not only did they have a child, they had two children. It was twins. So the Medrash says that just like that, Vayeoser Hashem, just like over there, it was twins. Ma'asira Shenemar Lahalon to Omim. Just like there, it was twins. Yaakov and Esav were twins. So to hear, people had twins, meaning the birth rate was higher at this time. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made up for the people that were killed in the plague in the times of David. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu making up for that by increasing the birth rate. And that's why the Pasuk says here, Yehuda v'Yisro, Rabin Kachol Asher Alayom Larov. This was divine. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu making up the number of Jews. Unbelievable. Okay? Now, it's something beautiful, I think. Right? That here you have at the very end, you know, listen, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to kill Yidden. Sometimes he has to kill members of Bnei Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love demands that that's only temporary. Right now I have to take some nefashos. Right now I have to take some people. I'll make it up to you. And he brings the people back. He increases the birth rate to make sure that those numbers swell once again. You see the beauty of the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That even as he's giving us the patch, he's building in that, don't worry, I'm going to make it up to you. Right? Don't worry, I'm going to make it up to Klal Yisrael. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought. The also, the Medrash over there also, the Psikta Rabasi also says that why is it that Bnei Yisrael are compared to the Chol Hayom? Right? They're compared to the sand. So why is that? So he says that if you dig in the sand at night, you come back the next morning, it's full. Right? The hole is gone. It's full. Right? It's okay, whatever happens, the tide, this and that, it fills it in. The holes don't stay there in the sand. So he says that's the same idea here. That just like the sand, the holes are always filled in, so too when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, Kach Yisrael, Mashachostru b'mei David, Nismalu b'mei Shlomo. That which was missing in the times of David was filled in the times of Shlomo, and he quotes this pasuk, right? Beautiful, beautiful idea, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. Now, Not only that, but so too a little bit later in the Psikta Rabasi, it says similarly that there's a pasuk in Devarim that says Leman teches ku uvasem urevistem virashtem es haaretz. Right, you're going to come strong upon the land, and urevistem, you'll increase and you'll inherit the land. Says the Medrash, Shafilu Yisrael boim lidei sirchon. Even if Bnei Yisrael come and are spoiled a little bit, meaning they right, they're gonna lose some people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu koeis aleihem, umevi aleihem mardus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry with them and he punishes them. Vein boinli dechisaron, and now they lose numbers. Elachozrim umisrabim, but they increase once again. And that's what you see here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his divine way always makes it up to us because he loves us, no matter what we go through. And sometimes we sit and we have to be punished and people have to die and people have to be killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the numbers back and will make it up to us. It brings us a little bit of nechama. But even now, right, unfortunately today there was another terror attack, and you keep hearing almost every week, unfortunately, about all these terror attacks and losing, right, these holy neshamas from Klal Yisrael. But we have to recognize that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes, because for whatever reason there's anger, for whatever reason there's charonaf, we don't understand it, we have to look inwards and try to improve ourselves. But for whatever reason, we have a havtacha from Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again increase and make it and make us great again, as the pasuk says, "Rabim kachol asher atzvas hayom larov." Mirtz Hashem, we should see that day soon. Shkoyach for coming. Welcome back, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll get going here in the new zman.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right, Aaron, good night.
Hi, Robbie.
Good night, everyone.